So, good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
To see you out on this crisp day. Boy, the weather has changed from those kind of little bit warm and wet days to these relatively cold, frost-laden days. Funny, everything keeps changing. Notice that? So though, you know, a couple of weeks have passed since our Loon Lake session, it really feels to me like we've just finished our practice period a few days ago. And even though we have a practice period every year, I'm always kind of surprised when I reflect back on how much happens during those weeks. All the Zazen, the Dharma talks, the various meetings, the preparations that we do for Loon Lake, and all the other activities that happen during the practice period. Over the past, roughly 8 weeks or so, we've been really steeped in many different teachings. The teachings, of course, of the Chinese ancestors that we focused on, but also the teachings from our Zazen, our sitting on the cushion, the teachings that maybe also arose from our personal readings and other activities that we do throughout the day. I think what makes it particularly poignant is that somehow in practice period, at least for many of us, we're just a little more aware of the teachings that are always around us, coming forward. Anyway, I hope it was a really rich time for all of you. So I was pondering on what to write for this talk. And out of the teachings from our Chinese ancestors, that we discussed over the weeks, a particular koan, or story, from the Gateless Gate, or the Momonkan, as it's called in Japanese, came to mind. And it really struck me as kind of very appropriate for how to hold or to meet our sense of accomplishment or our sense of inadequacy, whichever. Maybe both arose for you as you think about the practice period, and maybe one of them or both of them are still lingering a little bit. So this koan, or this story, involves the Chan, or in Japanese Zen, teacher Nanchuan, one of the most well-known of all the Chinese ancestors. And I thought, since we spent all this time talking about Chinese ancestors, one more. One more. So Nanchuan was a disciple of the great Mazu, one of the Chinese, one of the Chan teachers that we looked at very closely. I think Kate talked about Mazu. Is that right, Kate?
Yeah.
So after Nanchuan had completed his training with Mazu, he settled in a small hut on Mount, can you guess? The mountain he settled on, the name?
Nanchuan.
Nanchuan, yes. From which his Dharma name is derived, and that seems to be one of the common ways that the teachers were named. Anyway, he lived there more or less by himself for 3 decades, according to the traditions. And eventually, though, a group of monks convinced him to move to the foot of the mountain and there found a monastery. And from that time forward, he had apparently hundreds of students. And one of them was the very famous student, Zhao Zhou. So before we take up that koan from the Gateless Gate that I just mentioned, I wanted to remind you of a dialogue between Nanchuan and Zhao Zhou, when Zhao Zhou was still wet behind the ears. So one day, Zhao Zhou asked Nanchuan, "What is the way?" And Nanchuan replied, "Everyday mind is the way." Zhao Zhou said, "What can I do with that? How do I pursue that? How do I go forward with that?" And Nanchuan replied, "If you try to do something with it, you lose it." So Zhao Zhou said, "Well then, how can we know it is the way if we don't do anything with it? In other words, how can we practice?" And then Nanchuan replied this, "The way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. Knowing is an exaggeration. Not knowing is stupidity. The way is open, vast, and empty. Why do you insist on reducing it?" Now, I suspect this koan is Zoketsu Norman Fisher's favorite koan, since he named his organization that he founded Everyday Zen. Right? So Norman, just to remind people, Norman is Norman ordained Kate and Flo and Susan and me, and he is now the honorary founder or founding teacher of Mountain Rain Zen Community. And in case those people don't know, he was also there at the retreat with us, or the session with us at Loon Lake, teaching there too. So anyway, Nanchuan, I think, stressed two very important points that we need to be aware of. First of all, the everydayness of Zen practice and our tendency to limit the way by our intellectual understanding. Now, we could spend a lot of time talking about this koan, but just keeping those two points in mind that I just mentioned, let's turn instead to the real koan that I thought was really appropriate for the end of our practice period. So this one is case 27 from the Mumon Kan, or the Gateless Barrier. And it goes like this. A monk asked Nanchuan, "In all earnestness, is there any dharma that has not been preached to the people? Is there any dharma that has not been preached to the people?" And Nanchuan replied, "There is." And then the monk said, "What is the dharma that has never been preached to the people?" And Nanchuan replied this, "It is not mind, it is not Buddha, it is not beings." How interesting. Now, the monk that asked that question was probably very familiar with the famous teachings of Bodhidharma, the Indian monk who brought, at least legendary, brought this practice of Zen from India into China. Remember, we discussed Bodhidharma way back at the beginning of the practice period. And this is kind of a short poem that Bodhidharma is very famous for. Maybe you've heard some version of it before. "A special transmission outside the scriptures, not depending on words and letters, directly pointing to the mind, seeing into one's true nature and attaining awakening." Now, this dictum has long been regarded as kind of the very heart of Zen practice, although really it's not found in any of the works that are attributed to Bodhidharma. But teachers from earlier times all the way up till today claim Bodhidharma is the author of this short poem. So knowing this, I wonder what that monk who posed this question to Nanchuan, what he expected for an answer. And thinking about him, I thought perhaps he was just desperate. having finished session after session after session, and not feeling any closer to what he imagined the goal was. "Here I am," he's saying to himself, "still caught in the same old ruts of this life. What is amiss? Am I doing something wrong, or am I just a lost cause?" Maybe you've had some thoughts like that at times in your practice, in your life. Am I a lost cause? Why is it so hard? Or perhaps the dialogue that went between the monk and Nanchuan really took place during a kind of Shosan ceremony, like the kind of ceremony we did at the end of our session at Lu Lake, when all the monks kind of come up one after the other very quickly and ask a challenging question to the teacher. And the teacher usually replies with a short and pithy and hopefully somewhat helpful statement and response. I wonder when this dialogue happened. The Buddha taught for about 40 years. And then, according to the Zen lineage charts, depicting the transmission of Dharma from one generation to another, from the point of the Buddha onwards on for hundreds of years, each person who received the transmission is carefully named. Right? Although we know today that most of those names are basically made up. I mean, there were historical people, but they're, at least until we get to the 700s in China. Most of those people who are named in that lineage from the time of the Buddha all the way up to about the 700s in China would be greatly surprised to find their names listed on the Zen lineage. Anyway, according to this lineage chart, starting with Buddha, there were 28 generations in India that received the transmission, and then 6 more in China received the transmission, and then finally we get to Nanchuan, right? So there's been a lot going on. A lot of teaching has happened over these generations. So I was thinking, well, maybe the monk in this koan that I read, maybe he's challenging Nanchuan to say something new, something beyond all those tired old words of the earlier generations. And maybe this monk is expecting some gesture or shout or nonverbal reply like we see often in the old records, right? Something in line with Bodhidharma's not depending on words and letters. However, so interesting, Nanchuan rose to the occasion with this surprising reply. There is an answer. Now, just before I unpack that a little bit, there's one more point to consider here. As I said earlier, Nanchuan was a student of Mazu, and Mazu in Zen literature was very famous for the following dialogue. Dame, who was one of his students, asked Master Mazu, "What is Buddha?" And Mazu replied, "This very mind is Buddha. This very mind is Buddha." So the young monk that posed his question to Nanchuan must have known this very well. Right? Nanchuan's own master said, "Well, mind is the way, mind is Buddha." But old Nanchuan didn't fall back on his teacher's words. He baited the monk with the simple answer, "There is." Now, this kind of direct answer by one of the old teachers signals dangerous territory. After all, Zen teachers never give direct answers. But this monk couldn't resist from asking, okay, what is the Dharma that has never been preached to the people? I think Nanchuan recognized that his monk was stuck on some idea, some concept, some expectation, or perhaps something he had read, and was thus kind of confused, unable to meet his own practice exactly as it is. So Nanchuan, being the great teacher that he was, snatched away whatever it was with his simple reply, "It's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not beings." In effect, Nanchuan was saying, whatever you imagine or believe about the ultimate and your connection with it, my young friend, it's not that. Let go. Let go. Over the course of the practice period, and certainly when we read the literature, quite a number of the earlier Zen stories deal with the ideas or deal with letting go of ideas, letting go of our assumptions and beliefs. And one of my favorite koans that Kate shared with us last Wednesday deals with this, right? So just a kind of a quick recap of that. There was a monk named, or a priest named Deshan, who was a great scholar of the Diamond Sutra and wrote many commentaries. And he was carrying all his written commentaries on his back, traveling in South China, when he stopped for some refreshments at a roadside stand where he saw an old woman, another dangerous area. You see old women at roadside stands, run for your life. Selling tea and rice cakes. And so he stopped and he asked if he could buy some tea and rice cakes. And she, of course, saw he was a priest and said, "Venerable sir, what are you carrying in your bag?" He wasn't too bright, I guess. He didn't know about these old tea ladies. And he said, "I'm a scholar of the Diamond Sutra, and I have here all my notes and commentaries I'm carrying to the south to give lectures." And hearing this, the old woman said, "Ah, I have heard. According to the Diamond Sutra, past mind is ungraspable, present mind is ungraspable, and future mind is ungraspable. So, where is the mind that you wish to refresh with the rice cakes, oh great scholar? If you can answer this, you can buy a rice cake from me. And if not, get out." Deshan, of course, was unable to reply. But the old woman was actually very kind, and she directed him to the nearest Chan master, where he studied for many years and burned all his commentaries that he had written. And even Zen masters, even the great Zen teachers, sometimes get the rug pulled out from under them. So one more favorite story of mine. This is involving Hakuin Eikaku, one of Japan's most important and influential Zen teachers. He taught in the 700s and was very well known for teaching many lay people as well as...
1700s.
Didn't I say that?
No, he said 700s.
Oh, 700, sorry, 1700s. And known for teaching many lay people as well as monks and nuns. And a pretty strict teacher, but also very compassionate. Anyway, one day he was explaining one of these koans, these Zen stories, to his student, a young and quite precocious laywoman named Satsujo. And after he finished explaining it, he asked her, "Do you understand this?" And she replied, "Would you please go over it again?" And as soon as Hakuin opened his mouth to speak, Satcho put her hands on the floor, deeply bowed, and said, "Thank you for your trouble," and walked out, leaving the great Hakuin with his mouth open. And Hakuin then laughed and exclaimed, "Oh dear, I've been trounced by this terrible young woman again." It's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not living beings. Nanchuan told his monk, and he's telling us that today. My session, my retreat, my session was so-so. I didn't get anywhere. My mind is just monkey mind today. I never seem to get anywhere. Or, wow, that last session, that last period of Zazen was just awesome. If I just push a little more, sit a little longer, come to a few more retreats or session, I'll break through to the ultimate, the great awakening, the perfect place. In this koan, Nanchuan is saying, stop. Put it down. Put it all down. Remember Nanchuan's reply to Jiaozhou, right? When Jiaozhou was his student. The way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. Knowing is an exaggeration. Not knowing is just stupidity. The way is open and vast and empty. Why do you insist on reducing it? Well, it's true from our everyday perspective, there is progress, right? We get better at drawing, we get better at playing the piano, running marathons. And maybe in a similar way, after doing our Zazen practice for a while, we may notice we're more peaceful, more open to compassion, maybe a little less angry, a little less quick to lash out. All of this is very natural and, of course, very helpful. However, along the way, we often get stuck. We get stuck in how we imagine things should be. My meditation practice, my mind, my awakening, my life should be this way. This teaching of Nanchuan, it's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not beings, I think helps us cut through our imaginations and descriptions about awakening, or about this world, or about this life that we cling to so passionately. Holding on to how I, or how things should be, we stumble, seeking some kind of satisfying answer, or satisfying experience, or satisfying understanding, based on those, perhaps, explanations or descriptions we've read, or heard about or imagined. But Nanchuan points out, things are not the way we think they are. Our beliefs, our expectations, our assumptions and stories, all must be put down if we're going to fully awaken to this moment of our life. This is because once we have an idea of how things or how my mind should be, we'll be disturbed when they're not. Why isn't it going this way? This is not right. It should not be like this. The mind of should be, or maybe we could say the should be mind that pops up, is often really harsh and often with very little compassion. I think, as we all know, the criticisms, but also the exciting experiences that may arise from our sitting practice can easily become impediments on the path, since the path is not about gaining anything. The path is about letting go. Most of us come to the Zendo looking for some relief from the discomfort of our lives. And after practicing for a while, listening to Dharma talks, reading perhaps about mindfulness and the Buddhist teachings on the causes of suffering, we hopefully experience some ease. Natural and wonderful, this is. But when we hold on to our understandings and experiences, just as we do so often with in other areas of our life, they become fixed concepts about how things should be. In other words, they become new sources of confusion and discomfort. It's not that our understandings and experiences are wrong or bad in any way, but when our minds are fixed on how it should be, how my life should be, how my zazen should be, how my seshin or retreats should be, how, if we're fixed on that, how can then we be open to the bright and fluid reality of our life? Some of you maybe will remember old Hongzhi, one of the great Chinese ancestors Kate talked about during practice period. A little quote from him. Open-minded and bright without defilement, simply penetrate and drop off everything. Today is not your first arrival here. Since the ancient home before the empty kalpa, clearly nothing has been obscured, although you are inherently spirited and splendid. Still, you must go ahead and enact it. So how do we enact this open mind and brightness that has always been present, that has always been our home? In our zazen practice, we make the effort to return to the present moment, open to whatever life is giving us, willing to face the physical sensations, the thoughts, the feelings, but not engage them. To drop off, to let go, means don't engage. Let it be there. Sit there with the awareness. Is there any Dharma that has not been preached to the people? The monk asked Nanchon. Well, of course there is. The truth of your life, the truth of your life in this world is too vast to be expressed fully in words. It's too intimate to be fully expressed in words. And yet, being hairless speaking apes that we are, we naturally try to express the ineffable. Our history is soaked in poetry, song, sacred writings, all fingers pointing at the moon, as we say in the Zen tradition. And as fingers pointing at the moon, they are helpful, even beautiful. Grasped as the very truth itself, they're just like muddy water, obscuring what's right before us. Nanchuan warns his monk not to be caught by words or by his fixed ideas. It's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not beings. And Nanchuan, in his kindness, is also encouraging us not to get stuck on our own imaginings of open, bright mind, as Hongzhi expressed it, or of our imagined failings. Don't get caught there either. Holding an imagined life before us, how our life should be. We can't see the ground beneath our feet. Holding an imagined life before us, judgment and evaluation rise and cloud this moment. Linji, the Chinese ancestor who founded the Linji or Rinzai school of Zen, as it's called in Japanese, famously said, "If you meet the Buddha, kill him. Let me ask you now, in times of your dissatisfaction with your life or with your practice, who do you meet? How do you respond to your story that something is lacking, that you are not good enough, that you can't do it, that no matter what you do, the perfect place lies ever in the misty distance, like a mirage? The way is not a matter of knowing or not knowing. Knowing is an exaggeration. Not knowing is just stupidity. The way is open and vast and empty. Why do you insist on reducing it? What is Nanchuan pointing you towards? How do you hold any sense of accomplishment or any sense of inadequacy that may be lingering from the 2019 practice period, from your last period of Zazen today? How do you let go? Thank you very much.
May our intention